So, all right, get your Bibles out. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Did you leave your Harley outside, Joe? Proverbs chapter 14. It's okay, you're here. That's all that matters. Proverbs chapter 14. Tonight, we are going to continue. I'm not changing anything because of the holidays. We started many weeks ago in the book of Proverbs, going topic by topic. And we've gone through many different topics, but last week we started the topic of the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the phrase most repeated in the book of Proverbs. Let me review just for a moment. Remember something, God is all-powerful. He has all the power that there is. God says that we need the fear of the Lord. Now, this is the important part of this, and if you don't get this, it's not gonna make as much sense to you. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It doesn't say we are to fear God here. It says the fear of the Lord. The key word there is the word Lord. Lord is a title. It is a positional word. Be like president or king. It is a position of authority, and it says we are to have the fear of God's position. Fear of his authority. The fear let's say, his ability to judge us righteously. So it's not that we are afraid of God. We are to fear the judgment if we violate what he has set down. Does that make sense to everybody? And it's not, by the way, for instance, I use this illustration. Many were afraid of Dr. Jack Hiles. Those of us that were close to him weren't afraid of him. He had this ability to look right through you. People didn't like looking him in the eyes because they felt like he was just looking right all the way down inside of you. And that was because they feared his position. God's power is not there to hurt you. It is there to help you. God does not want to use his power against his children. So we are not to be afraid of him in the, lack of better terminology, in the sense my dog was today after that little shocking incident she went through. She was a bit afraid. You say, why? Because she hadn't experienced anything like that. Now, it wasn't turned way up. She wasn't hurt, but she didn't like it, that's for sure. Now, she became afraid of me for a while. She thought I had done it to her. She got over that pretty quick. Enough dog treats get you in good with your dog, trust me. But the power is there to protect, not to hurt. The power is there to keep her from going outside the yard, going into the road, and getting hurt, or going somewhere else and being taken. So the purpose of the power was not to hurt, it is to protect. Proverbs not only defines what the fear of the Lord is, but it shows us how to get it and what the benefits of it are. Last week we went through a couple things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is hating five things, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Tonight we're going to start with the next one. And that is this number four, the fear of the Lord has strong confidence. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. God says that the fear of the Lord brings a strong confidence. Can I tell you something? Do you want to know one of the sweetest truths in all the Bible? God doesn't fail. God's never wrong.
You're right.
Did you know what God said he will do? He will do it. Do you know that what God says will happen, it's going to happen? It may not happen when you want it to happen, but it's going to happen. You see, God does not, God cannot, and God will not ever fail. God has no ability to fail. We have that ability. Matter of fact, some of us have that ability down fantastically. We can fail at everything, but God never fails. God says we can borrow his wisdom by obeying the Bible and yielding to the Holy Spirit, and we can snuggle up inside that and know we're not going to fail. The situation may fail around us, but we are not going to fail. Let me show you what I mean. If you looked at the life of Noah, most everybody in here would call Noah a failure. He only saved 8 people. In 120 years of preaching, there was only 8 that believed. But thank God those 8 did. Yes. Somebody sent me one of those funny little cartoons on my phone. Had a picture of Noah's wife coming up the gangplank of the ark. And she said, "Honey, hang on. My mother's on the way." It was pretty good. I liked it. We won't go any farther with it. But did you know that... You're going to borrow that one, right, Josh? I could see the look in his eye. Did you know that what you call some of the greatest people of faith were failures? If you would have looked where they're at in their situation, you would have said they were failing. Daniel wasn't doing real good when he was in the lion's den or about to go into it. Some of you think because you face something that it's bad. Sometimes God wants to show how strong and mighty he is. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego weren't doing too good when they had to go into the fiery furnace. But guess what? They came back out. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. Did you know Christians wouldn't trust him? He had to go preach to the Gentiles because the Jews didn't want anything to do with him. The Jewish people wanted nothing to do with the Apostle Paul. And I could go on and on and on and on. What you call success, if you were in the middle of it, you would have been thinking you were a failure just like they did. So there is strong confidence in the fear of the Lord. Knowing you have God's power, doing it God's way, gives you a true confidence. Recently, I went through a little legal issue with a family in our church, helping them through it. I was not at odds with them or they with me. I was helping them go through a legal issue. Got them set up with a lawyer, went to the lawyer's office with them, went to court with them, met with them after court, and they were afraid of it. And I said, "No, the only way to stop this is we got to nip it now. It should have been done a while ago. And the only way to stop this is the way we're going to do it." And to be honest with you, they were a bit afraid. And they kept saying, "Preacher, you just seem so confident." I said, "I am. I know exactly what we're doing here." Got me a pretty mean, kind of rough lawyer for him. He's known for being a bit shrewd, rough. You say, why? Because if you're going to get in a fight, you don't want some sissy out there. You want somebody who knows how to fight. I was taught, if you need a lawyer, you get the meanest, nastiest one you can, because he's going to fight for you. And I found one knows how to fight. And one that had to, excuse me, pastor, I'm going to use some words, you know, kind of guy. But in the middle of all this, the judge, 3 or 4 times with the opposing person, had to say, it's a yes-no question. I don't need a 5-minute dissertation. Yes or no? And the judge shut down the opposition pretty fast. Say, what was that? I knew exactly how to deal with that. I had confidence. There was confidence because I've been through these types of situations, but there's confidence in the fear of the Lord. And I made the statement in front of the lawyer. I made it in front of our church member. And I made it several times. I said, this kind of person, just let them go. They'll hang themselves. This kind of person will hang themselves. And sure enough, in front of the judge, they hung themselves 3 times. And afterwards, our church member came to me and said, I said, just trust me. They said, the only way we got through this is because you're confident. I said, the only thing I wish you'd have done is a year ago come see me about this. We'd have done it a year ago. You wouldn't be where you're at right now. I said, don't wait so long. And the lawyer put his grubby old paw on me and said, that's right, listen to Pastor Bush. You should have been here a long time ago. And it is what it is. We couldn't change what was, but we changed the tactics pretty quickly. We backed up the opposition, and that's how you deal with things. You see, knowing right is confidence. Did you know that's why in public education they want to kick God out because they don't know how to defend their wrong with right? When you start throwing fact at public education, they don't know how to deal with it other than to call it, oh, that's bigotry. That's religious persecution. They have no answer for it. Isn't it amazing? Al Gore said 20 years ago that the world would end in 10 years, and that was 20 years ago. That's what he said, not me. He's made over $5 billion on global warming himself personally. Doing right is confidence. Knowing right is confidence, but doing right is confidence. Did you know when you're doing right? Did you know when you're driving the speed limit and the police officer's in the road, you don't have to worry about it? I see you can't say I was looking at you. Did you know you don't have to hit the brake immediately if you know you're doing right? You say what? Because doing right is confidence. It always is. Being with right people is confidence. Did you know being here in church tonight, there's a confidence than it would be had you been in the bar? At least that's what Ellen and Marcia said to me. There's a confidence when you're with the right people. I didn't promise you that. Ellen promised she wasn't going to tell. You see, being with the right people brings confidence. Some of you may have had to be with some family this week that you really didn't want to be around. Poor Beatrice had to be with a whole family full. she really didn't want to, there wasn't a lot of confidence there. But can I tell you something? There's confidence when you're with the right people. You go to a Bible college campus, and for the majority, there's a lot of good people there. And you got your little pockets of ornery little critters, but they make themselves known and get themselves in trouble and get kicked out on their own. You don't have to worry about those. For the most part, there's a confidence there. And it breeds a confidence with it. Doing things at the right time gives you confidence. Did you know that if you're doing the right thing the right way with the right people at the right time, you're pretty confident? There's just a confidence that goes with the fear of the Lord. People lack confidence because they have no fear of the fear of the Lord. You see, they fear people, they fear self, they fear failure, but they don't fear the Lord. They don't have the fear of the Lord. Well, I couldn't get up and sing like those girls did. I'd be too afraid. No, you're afraid of embarrassing yourself. It's not the fear of the Lord. I saw Mrs. Stoltz this week, and she said, so, Brother Bush, who do you have leading songs in your church? I said, me? I said, if Rich wasn't dead, I'd kill him right now. I did. I said that right to her face. She just kind of laughed. She knew. It is what it is, you know? But there's a confidence when you're with the right people doing it the right way. Say, do you do a good job at it? Nope, but we're getting by. We're making it happen. It's going to make when someday we get somebody up here that does know what they're doing going to be that much better. Hush. I'm going to get you one of those collars that I just push the button and it shocks. All right? I'm going to put it in your seat and watch you jump. It's not going to be rapture practice because you ain't going up. But people lack confidence because they fear failure. You know why some people won't do anything for God? Well, I'm just so afraid I might fail. Well, it's better to do something and fail than not do anything. Man, I'd rather get up and make a total failure out of myself than get up and do nothing. Sitting on your blessed assurance doesn't do anything if you're not doing something. So get up and do something. Get up and fail if you have to, but get up. I got to hurry. Number five, look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 27. The very next verse. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. That means this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That word fountain means something that springs up. And if you go to a water fountain, you push the button or turn the dial, and the water flows up and out. And you're supposed to put your mouth on metal things so you don't get sick and get everybody else's germs. All right? God says that the fear of the Lord is like a fountain of life that springs up out of you. It is newness of life because it brings so many new successes and new opportunities your way. Did you know when you got saved, when you got baptized, I bury you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. It is like a fountain of life. You are brought up from death to life, and we're supposed to go out and give that life. It is life-giving. And once you get saved, there's new success and new opportunity everywhere you go. Man, life just gets started when you get saved. Life will be less clogged by sin in our flesh if you live the new life that you have. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become. It doesn't say everything is immediately new. It says all things become new. Too many people want to say, well, I don't see any change in her life. They really didn't get it. Well, you're not God. Who made you God? And number two, who made you righteous enough to be able to see what they do all the time? You see, there are some converts I've had, they smoke two packages of cigarettes a day. I've seen some after a couple weeks, they're down to about a half a pack a day. I'm excited. And well, they are still smoking. Yeah, but they're smoking a whole lot less, and we're going the right direction. Direction's everything, baby. I got some converts, man. They're rough drinking, hardcore kind of people. They might slip up and take a drink at New Year's. Okay, think it's wrong. It's still sinful, but watch this. It's less sinful for them than it is for me. Maybe y'all know what I mean? Say why? Because I've been away from it long. Never went into it, first of all. But second of all, there's something required of me not to do that. But to them, it's growth to only take one. See, everything's about direction here. So life will be less clogged by our sin and our flesh if we start living the new life. Did you know that running water never gets stagnant? Did you ever smell stinky, stagnant water? There's very few things that are worse. There's a few smells that are worse, but boy, stagnant water is pretty rough. Just kind of, you get down into South Carolina, into the low country. Amen, Miss Leanne? And you get out in some of those bogs out in the swamp. Some of that swamp water hadn't moved in 30 years. And I mean, it's rough. And if something ever gets in that and stirs it up, there's other things that get stirred. And it's usually between your waist and your chest. All right? It's right in there and just starts going. It makes you want to throw up. It gets so bad. It gets so nasty that it starts bubbling from all the decay in there. I've seen swamp water just sit there and gurgle and bubble. And when the bubbles pop, you go, ooh. I mean, it's bad stuff. Life is not to be stagnant nor stinky like that. Too many people can say something. If you sit there all the time, your life gets stagnant. You got to be moving. Your life will bring refreshment to others if you're running water. Our life is to bring refreshment. It's not to become stagnant. So it is a fountain of life. The fear of God becomes a fountain of life to us because we understand our position with God. Did you know I'm not afraid of the police officers? You know, I'm not afraid of law enforcement. I've said this many a times, and my son's involved in law enforcement to a certain degree, and others in here have been. Brother Harry has. And any of you men that carry have to understand, or ladies, if you're involved in something and the police are involved, you have to, you don't have to necessarily, but it's a very wise thing to do to tell them. I've already predetermined if I'm carrying and I get stopped for some reason, the first thing I'm going to do is declare where I'm carrying. And my hands will be on the steering wheel and I'll say, I am not moving till you tell me what to do, sir or ma'am. Say, well, you don't have to. No, but it sure is a wise thing to do. You know you're a good person, but they don't know who you are. And I'd rather be way up front with them. I was going hunting one time. Had another assistant pastor with me. They stopped me for doing the speed limit because it started to rain. And they wanted to slow traffic down. I was on I-65 in Indiana. And an Indiana state trooper pulls me over. He said, I am going to ask you to step out of the car and come to my car. He said, we're trying to slow traffic down. I'm going to give you a written warning. You weren't speeding. I'm just going to give you a written warning for going too fast for control for the condition, you know, weather conditions. He said, even though you weren't, he said, I'm trying to slow everything down. And I said, sir, I'm on my way to go hunting. My hands are on the steering wheel. And I watched his hand do this. And I said, hold it. I said, weapons are in the trunk. I said, but I have a hunting knife on my right hip. I said, my license is on my back hip. I said, and I'm not reaching my hand anywhere, and I'm not getting out of this vehicle without you knowing exactly where everything's at. He said, is there a way to get to your wallet without going through the side where the knife is? I said, yes, sir. I said, I have a zipper on that side. He said, how about you stand up and unzip. He said, just don't reach to the right side. I said, have no fear. Do you want my arm in your arm? I said, I'll do this if you want. He said, no. He said, somebody willing to tell me. He said, we're good. I even told him what weapons we had in the trunk, where everything was. I said, dude, would you like to see it? He said, nope. He said, obviously, you're going hunting. And he said, I understand. He said, I appreciate you letting me know. I said, I'm not going anywhere. Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. And we talked a while. Say, what was that? Did I have to? No, but my coveralls were unzipped. And if I had leaned out to get out of that car and that knife was a-showing, that's not real good. I just thought it better be wise. And I had nothing, by the way, had a good conversation with him. He found out we were assistant pastors. He had been to our church before. And he was kind of laughing. I said, yeah, this one's going to hit the papers for sure, isn't it? And it was just kind of one of those things. Your life can bring refreshment to others if you're moving. It's to be a well of life, but I still respect that position of authority. Respect God's position of authority. Know where your lines are. And you can be a refreshment to others. And I got to hurry, number six. The fear of the Lord is the teacher or instructor of wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Yes. So the fear of the Lord is the instruction or the teacher, the instructor about wisdom. Can I tell you something? The fear of the Lord causes you to see things God's way, not your way. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road a little bit. Are you ready? The fear of the Lord. Notice the last part of that verse says, and before honor is humility. When you have to start looking from somebody else's viewpoint other than your own, you have to humble yourself. When you have to shut up and take it and do what the boss says, even though you might not agree, but that's your job. Everybody doing all right? I don't mean this unkindly. I was an assistant pastor for 23 and a half years. Believe me, I know a lot about swallowing my pride. There have been many times I knew exactly what to do, and I felt like we were going the wrong way. Probably 75% of the time, I was wrong. About 25% of the time, though, I was right. Say, what'd you do in those 25% of the time? Go back to the boss saying, I told you. No. Most of the time, I took the blame for it. I learned how to absorb the blame. I'd work in schools. I'd have staff of 30, 35 people working for me. Did you know no matter what goes wrong in a school, it's always the principal's fault? Always. Doesn't matter what it is. My kid got a demerit from the fifth grade teacher, and it's the principal's fault. Yeah, it's always my fault. I learned, did you know saying it's my fault really doesn't hurt? I've learned how to take so much blame, it does not bother me. Blame is very overrated, just so you know. Now, wait a minute. There's times I took the blame for something, for a teacher that did do something contrary to the way I'd want it done. After it was over, I'd pull them into my office and say, we're not going to do it that way ever again. Well, you just you don't understand. I'm not taking the blame again. This is not how we're going to do it. And I would instruct them. There is a humility that goes with the fear of the Lord. Did you know the hardest thing you're going to do? By the way, it's because of sin. Because when Satan tempted Adam and Eve with sin, he said, if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. You could be your own God. Well, can I tell you something? Man makes a pretty lousy God. And we struggle with it ever since. So humility says, I'll put what I want aside. I'll put what I see aside. I'll put my way aside. I'll put even what I was taught before aside. And God, you tell me what I should do. You know, there are people in this room, when you were younger, you were instructed biblically, but it was biblically wrong. And you still fall back to that if you're not careful. Everybody doing all right? Just because when you were in fifth grade, you heard some Bible preacher say something, doesn't mean it was right. I heard a lot of bad doctrine growing up. I've learned since then, not good. Just because that was a good, by the way, from good people. You see, the fear of the Lord humbles you to make sure you see things God's way, not your way. The fear of the Lord is the curriculum for wisdom. curriculum. Say, what is that? That's the process of learning, the materials for learning. Well, humility is part of that, and the fear of the Lord brings that. A teacher that's not feared is not a good teacher. You look back in life, the teachers that were hardest on you are the ones you learned the most from. You may not have even liked them, but you learned the most from them. Probably the ones you were buddy-buddy with, you enjoyed them, but they didn't teach you much. It wasn't the teachers you liked most that taught you the most. It's the ones usually you didn't like that taught you. Now, I'm not talking about the boring ones. There are some teachers that were just getting a paycheck. Usually they're history teachers. Not always, but usually. You say why? Because, man, they don't know how to teach history. I'll promise you one thing. When I taught history, I did everything I could to make it come alive. And, man, we made it come alive. And all of a sudden, history made sense. History's not supposed to be taught. There's usually 180 learning days in a school year. You're not supposed to start on day one with step one and follow this long tunnel and get to the end and turn around and say, Shazam, look at all I learned. No, history is to be taught horizontally. You take step one and look from beginning to end. Step two and look from beginning to end. And step three and beginning to end and see where it all falls into place all the way through history as you zigzag and you repeat back and forth all the way through. It's amazing how it's all wired together. And when you teach it that way, boy, is it fun. And it's fun to learn it that way. Well, that's why America is making the same stupid decisions that England made 250, 300 years ago. We're going back to the same things that we're trying to wipe away our history so that the oppressors are gone, so that the new liberals can be the oppressors. Let's get rid of the Civil War people. Let's get rid of the Civil War issues so that we can now be the slave masters. Is that not what's happening? It's the same thing. I got to hurry up. Number seven, I got to move on. Number seven, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I think it's chapter 10, verse 27. Yep. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Did you know that the fear of the Lord will prolong your days? It does not say that you'll live to be an old person. It says it will prolong your days. Brother Rick Walter died and went to heaven a year ago, 46 years old. But if you knew Brother Rick when he was a teenage boy, it's a wonder he lived to be 20. Oh, by the way, he had a wayward son when he died. And that wayward son called me this week. Gotten himself squared away, gotten himself cleaned up, and in the last 10 months, living for the Lord. And doing something with his life. We talked for about 20 minutes. And I said, Doc, thanks for my Christmas present. He said, what do you mean? I didn't get you anything. I said, yeah, you did. This phone call. I'll take that over anything, any day. I said, did you call your mama? He said, I talked to her before I talked to you, Brother Bush. I said, good. If not, I'd have whooped you. Can I tell you something? The life of Brother Rick Walters is being prolonged through the life of his children. Everything that he taught them is now being put to use. Boy, what a wonderful thing. It can give you a longer life. It give you a wiser life, a healthier life, a less depressed life, a less stressful life, and fewer regrets in life. You know, I have no regrets about the pathway I've chosen in my life. Brother Mike, not one time have I ever regretted not drinking booze. Not once. I have never one time regretted not doing drugs. Not once. I've never regretted, not once, being impure. Everybody doing okay? Glad when I got married, that's the only lady I know. I don't regret any of that. Everybody doing okay? You know, when you live this way, there's fewer regrets. Some of you wished you could take days, weeks, months, and years out of your life. Not me. Man, I'm having too much fun. Mrs. Barnes's mom told me the other day, Brother Bush, how are you? I said, if I was any better, I'd be twins in the world to hate both of me. And she just stopped and laughed. She said, I have never heard that before. That's better than I know how to even respond to. I said, trust me, it's true. It's just one of those things. You know, the fear of the Lord prolongs days. That means you can get more out of each day of your life. I can squeeze an awful lot out of a work day. I get a lot done. But it also means more productive days. It means you can keep a wiser schedule. You know, some people live long, but they don't get much done. The TV was on the news for a little bit yesterday for some reason or other. And there was the oldest living barber is in somewhere. He was 107 years old and he's still cutting hair. Using a comb and a pair of scissors. 107 years old, still drives to work each day. Works 40 hours a week. They said, when are you going to quit? He said, don't know. His son's 85 and said, I just retired. He said, I can't keep up with him. I was laughing. I thought it was great. Now, wait a minute. That means you can, the fear of the Lord teaches you how to have a wise schedule. It'll help you get the most out of each and every moment. It'll make you be able to do more than one thing and accomplish more than one thing at once. I realize I'm a little bit eccentric. Building a church building, building a house, building a church itself all at the same time. Guess what? I'm doing all right. Say, how do you keep it all going? And it's amazing how many things are wrapped up in my head that I know what's coming, where it's going, what needs to come, what needs done, when it needs done, how it needs done, who's supposed to do it, and this, that, and the other. Say, what is that, the fear of the Lord? Look at all God's got to keep going. He's got to make sure it's going to rain. He's got to make sure the sun's going to shine. He's got to make sure the seasons are going to change. He's got to make sure the tides are going to happen twice a day. He's got to make sure the stars are shining. He's got to make sure everything's in place, gravity works, and everything else. If he can do it, we were made in his likeness, we can do it too. Number 8, and I'll finish up with this, even though there's a couple more. We'll finish them next week and go on to something else. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The fear of the Lord will help you depart from evil. The fear of the Lord will give you the courage or the boldness to walk away from evil people or evil situations. If you've ever been hit hard by the law, you're less apt to go back and do the same thing again. Be honest, how many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket? I have. All right. You know, usually you don't get two in one day. Some do, but not everybody. Did you? Brother Harry got them back to back in the same place. But we won't go there. And he was a police officer. Welcome to Maryland, right? But wait a minute. But usually, once you get the bill in the mail, you decide, that ain't worth it. I'm going to slow down. Say, why are those fines there? They try to make it severe enough to where you don't want to do it again. Does that make sense to everybody? So the fear of the Lord helps you depart from evil. Remember, evil is not sin. Evil is a conspiracy to destroy. So those situations that cause us to destroy someone, go after someone, to attack someone, in other words, the fear of the Lord will keep you from listening to gossip. Fear of the Lord not only keep you from gossiping, but the fear of the Lord will keep you from listening to it. The fear of the Lord gives you the confidence to face correction. You won't have to be forced to be corrected if you have the fear of the Lord. You'll turn yourself in. Does that make sense? Something I tried to teach to my children as they were growing up. it's a whole lot easier on you if you turn yourself in than if I have to find out you did it. The punishment was a little more severe if I had to force it out of you. Not because I was angry, but because they needed the character to learn to say, I did it. Not blame it on each other. Which they did often. They still do. You know, the fear of the Lord gives you the confidence. I'm not looking at any of them. To face your correction, though. Nobody likes to be corrected. Yeah, I didn't like it either. The fear of the Lord makes you hate what evil does to people. When Mrs. Lopez contacted me the other day about Nadia's family and the murder in their home on Sunday night, after everything the Lord's done in that family's life. Can I tell you something? I hate evil. I don't hate evil people, but I hate what evil does to people. I thought, such a joyous time of the year, and these people are grieving, hurting, and going through a tragedy right now. Couldn't even find out if they had anything left. And I, please don't take this the wrong way, but I fear to think, had they not gone out of town that afternoon, what would have happened if they'd have been there? That could have been some of our bus kids that were murdered. I thought to myself, man, I hate the devil. I do. I hate what he does. I hate what evil does. I hate the evil way. That's part of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord helps us depart from evil. By the way, those evil influences in our life, it makes it, do you struggle with the wrong kind of music? The fear of the Lord will help you get out of it. You start fearing the Lord, you won't be listening to the wrong music. You'll see what it does to people. And I got to quit there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The fear of the Lord. How's your fear of the Lord? Not that you fear God, but your fear of the Lord, his position, his authority. How are you yielding